All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. This is episode 63, and we are on Skype. My friend Moritz Batschheider, how are you?
Hello, I'm great. We are on Skype, but I'm also pretty happy because I think we can tell people. We saw each other today in person.
We made love.
No, we did not. We also wore masks, etc. But I didn't realize that before that because we haven't seen each other in like, 4 or 5 weeks now, I guess.
Yeah, I was thinking about the last time. I guess I forgot what episode it was, but I came over to your place and we ended up playing some... Mm-hmm. Was that the same day that we ended up playing... Super Smash Brothers together on my Switch?
Yes, we were recording here, but that's...
No. It wasn't the Switch one. The last one that we did was when you tried out the camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That was like a daytime recording. That was really fun, yeah. So yeah, today has been the first time in a few weeks that we got to catch up and see each other mano a mano.
Yeah, I mean, this might sound super cheesy, but I realized today, after I realized how long we have not seen each other in person, that this really was a highlight of my day today. Like seeing a person I really care about in person, and even if it's just, I think we'll get to the reason why we saw each other in a second. Even if it's just a certain occasion that we see each other, and it's with masks and distance and whatever, but. But in this kind of routines you develop in like what now looks like third lockdown.
Crazy.
I mean, it really is a highlight for me to see someone, no matter the circumstances.
I know exactly what you mean, man. I feel like it's been such a limited availability so long in Germany, like trying to catch up with friends or see people, you have to schedule it out and you see like one person and then you're like, you know, did you get tested and did you do this right? And or like, you know, keeping distance with masks and stuff like we saw each other today. And
And then think about like, because that's because in the beginning, you're not thinking, or in my case, I wasn't thinking about that too much. Like I always supported the rules that were given and so you only see one person, but it took me a week or two to realize, okay, I think that's still not a good idea because I'm only seeing one person at a time.
Right.
But it happened for like the first week or so that I don't know. I saw this one friend on Tuesday, this other one on Thursday, and a third one on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you also, in my case, I also cut that down a bit, and then there's not that many people left to see.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, the thing about this whole quarantine lockdown situation is you've kind of filtered down what you imagined was like a larger friend group. You had like a very fine filter, and you filtered it down to like, who are the essential people that I have to see, that I will really miss if I don't see them? And it's really interesting how that happened. I had like the same effect with friendships over text messaging and phone call after I moved abroad, like going from New Orleans, where I felt like I had a circle of like 100 people. And then I come to Munich, and now after 5 or 6 years, it's boiled down to a pretty consistent like 4 people that write me, like maybe they write or they call like once a week. And they've stayed in touch, and they're really consistent. VV being one of them, who we've had on the show, and just people that you stay like they want to call, they want to know how you're doing, they want to touch base. But it's like with lockdown, it's the same feeling. You go from thinking you have such a big range of people that you always talk to, but in fact, a lot of them are just people that you are acquaintances with that you run into.
Yeah.
And when you don't run into them anymore, it's like, well, who the hell is going to, who's writing me? Who am I going to call now? You know?
Yeah, true.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And it's still, I'm not sure if I can say, because anger is a strong word, but I still feel uncomfortable and feel that it's unfair and it makes absolutely no sense. So that's what I'm feeling when I think about like today. I mean, we can say that we met each other at 94.5 where I work. And the thing I mean is like privately And this is not new conversation. There have been people arguing about this for months now. But I still, it still makes me feel uncomfortable that privately you cut down your contacts if you support the rules that are given. And for me, it's like I just want this bullshit situation just to get at least easier as soon as possible. And that's why I still go with everything that comes up. Then that sounds like an idea that could make that happen. But you cut all down your contacts privately, but still no one cares about how many people you see at work.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And that's still something I cannot understand. But then you're so, I don't know. I wouldn't say I really had issues feeling alone or something, and I live together with my partner, so, and everything's fine. But still, I felt like you feel like, so in my case, kind of alone in quotation marks. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that really feel alone, and that so I don't want to make fun of that. But still, that gets a highlight. You accept that, even though you cannot understand it, why it's still okay to see 15 different people, or maybe even if it's just 5 or so, at work every day, and don't know what they're doing, etc. When they're not at work, and even that gets a highlight because you at least get to see those people.
Right,
that's the situation where I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of a funny situation too. If you want to do special things with a bigger group, between, like, if it's not your work, and it's, you know, obviously you're not having parties and you're not like hanging out with big groups of friends, but for example, by the time this comes out, so previously on the 24th of March, we dropped this. So yeah, if you're listening to this on the 25th, then yesterday we just dropped this Smilin' Back at Me live version. And when we released this live choir version of Daily Bread, we had some questions coming our way, like, how did you manage this with like 30 people during Corona times?
True.
And so I had to make sure, I had to preface it like in all the posts and on YouTube and all the messages.
For a second, for all the people that might not have seen it yet, it is a choir performance in a huge, beautiful church in Munich of your upcoming song, Daily Bread.
Right.
And the thing is, it's already been shot in 2019.
That's right.
As far as I know.
Yeah. It was in like the summer.
Yeah. But you dropped it like 2 months ago.
Yeah. In January of 2021. Yeah. So we sat on it for a long time. And of course, when I started promoting it, and we had this group text with everyone in the choir, and they looked through their old phone messages and found all these pictures. I started posting the pictures, and then I had the clip on my phone and was cutting the clip up into pieces and was putting it on all these social platforms. Of course, I had a few questions coming my way, like, how did you make that work? And, then I just made sure as clear as I could that it was pre-corona. But then you think about this Smilin' Live video that just came out, and we did have to make this during COVID. And, that was kind of tricky, and we had to make sure that everybody was tested well ahead of time. We had to schedule out everyone's tests. We had to make sure that they were locking down. We had to stay in constant communication if they had traveled. Between takes, we still had to, the thing is, I really wanted to be extra careful because when you're singing, that's they say that's like the super spreader thing. You're like putting all the spit and air out. So I thought, like, okay, I'm sitting next to two people. I can only vouch really for one of them where they've been in the last month because I talked to Marcus, the guitar player, a bit more often than Cosma. So I know that he had been extraordinarily careful because he had just done this huge Nockebag TV presentation. And if if he had been exposed, he would have lost that job. And that's a lot of money. So he was like, a Marine about it. And I knew that he had been smart. I asked the group to take a test. He was the first one to say, absolutely no problem. I'm already locking down anyway. Cosma, I was a bit more worried about just because she's younger. Just purely because she's younger. I thought, okay, she's 20. maybe she's a bit more adventurous. Maybe she's like these teenager groups that I see around the river who are like with 30 people at once, traveling all the time. She had just finished recording a new album and I was a bit more hesitant, but I just asked everybody to be tested and to lock down and to keep me updated about anything. The guy who filmed it kept distance from us. He wore a mask the whole time. And, you know, before we sang and after we sang, we were all just trying to kind of not be really, we had the windows open the whole time. So we just had to try and keep it as protected as possible to make this video work. And I'm kind of thankful that I was, you know, in my memory, like a little bit strict with all of them because I really wanted to make this work, but I also couldn't risk my own safety. Like I don't want to risk my own safety anymore. Like it's been such a long, the lockdown has been so long that I'm not like my tolerance for people being careless is at a complete zero now. It's like, I'm tired of this. You're tired of this. Let's be smart about it. Like if you know someone and you trust someone that's different, like if you really trust someone to like a friend to be, to have been safe before you see them, that's your call and that's your choice. And I think that that's totally normal that some people are doing that. But there's also this huge array of people that you don't know that well and you can't trust that much. And it's just, this is like the ultimate test. Like how much longer do you want this lockdown to go? You know, so I wanted to stop yesterday. So to do this video, we had to be really strict. And that just reminded me about what you were saying with seeing people at work. You know, it's like no contact, big distance, everyone in masks, and you still have to make some things function the best that you can, you know?
And still, you know, there are a lot of all kinds of jobs where it is not possible to keep distance, etc. And there's a good reason why, especially in the health sector, etc., those people are also being vaccinated early, etc., etc. But that's a long and not so soon to be
that's
ending
like its own story. Thing. Yeah, that's like its own podcast.
And I guess to get to a little more fun topic, if you like.
I'm a fun guy. I'm a silly dude.
I guess like 8 to 10 minutes ago, we said we also want to talk about the reason why we originally
saw each other today.
Yeah.
Well, you know what we can do? We can say, because this is like the cliffhanger. Why did we see each other today? I'll just put this in here. If you're a supporter of the show, you can go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Wherever you listen to the show, you can give us a... I'm going to say this as fast as I can. You can give us a rating, review, subscription, or a comment to help build the algorithm up so that people can find our show, and it's really cool for us. You can also support us financially at patreon.com/JordanPrince, where you can donate for as low as $3 a month to help us build up our podcast to be the best show that we can for you. And also, you can go to Instagram at @artsyfartsyimmigrants and give us a follow. And you can write us an email if you have a comment or you yourself want to be a guest on the show. It's podcast@m945.de. And the reason that we saw ourselves
that was
today,
fast. That was some real speed, buddy.
That was like the subtitles at the end of a medicine commercial.
Dude, think about people like me who listen to podcasts faster. Like I listen to every podcast.
Do you really?
At least 1.3 or 1.25.
All the time?
Yeah. Besides things that are more... driven by a certain kind of audio experience through sound effects and a lot of music, etc. There, I don't do that because, especially with music, it's no fun.
Let's say, for example, a classic, Joe Rogan interviews Dave Grohl.
Dude, sure thing.
1.5, really?
Up to 1.5, yeah.
I never do that. Never. The only time I ever affected the speed of a podcast was one time back in the day. This comedian, Chris D'Elia, was on an interview with Theo Vaughn's podcast, and they both were so like giddy with each other that they were speaking so fast that it was giving me a headache. They were talking like I just did, but for the whole show. So I actually slowed it down by half.
Okay.
And then they kind of sounded like
this. So many
podcasters
sound so funny when they when they're being like slowed down or speeded up.
Yeah, exactly.
but speeding up is no big deal. Like for me now, I guess it's a little bit of need a little bit of training for your head probably, but now when I start a podcast and it starts at normal speed and I switch to 1.3 or 1.5,
yeah,
it takes like the first 10 seconds where it sounds weird, and after that it sounds completely normal to me.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I mean, once you get into the flow of anything, like your ear can adjust. Your ear can adjust to it. One time, I was listening to like a, I think it was S Town or This American Life, like one of these sort of like more personal storytelling podcasts, and I had it on like 1.5 or 1.3 or something faster by accident. And I thought, man, oh no, it was the Daily. It was Mr. Michael Barbaro. It was the guy. And he sounded so fast. I thought, man, this guy already talks fast and he's already kind of whispery like this. It's Michael Barbaro. This is the Daily. And then he was talking so fast. I thought, man, come on, dude. You already blow through the show. Can you just slow down? And I realized I had it. I was going to stop the show. I was like, I can't listen to this guy.
But dude, let me tell you one thing. A lot of podcasters sound more intelligent when you speed them up a little bit.
Probably me included, to be honest.
Dude, I guess if you want to take this show half, at least a little bit seriously, you got to speed it up to at least 1.3.
Oh man, then that segment of the promo at the beginning is going to sound crazy.
Yeah, that's what I thought about.
I just had a theory that maybe we should keep bringing up topics and never tell them why we met today.
Yeah, I had the same idea.
Because we just branched off so much, and I thought, what if we
our brains are connected after 2 years of podcasting.
That's right. Like, what if we just never tell them? Yeah. Like, at the end, we're like, well, I'm sure at some point in there we told you, so thanks for listening, and if you'd like to support the show.
Because I was just thinking we could get this going, like, here's another story, and here's another story, but we'll get to that. Like, we can do that for another 20, 30 minutes.
Well, speaking of which, I would tell you why we met today, but I saw a video today about how to survive a tsunami.
What you survived a tsunami? What?
Like how to survive a tsunami.
Ah, okay.
And it's this company, I think it's just called How to Survive, and I think it's on YouTube, and they're just like 6 minute long videos, and they're so hyper stylized and super dramatic and whatever. And they have one about surviving tsunamis. They have how to survive a plane crash, how to survive a mega tornado. And I got really into that for like an hour today.
Why is there the term mega tornado?
It's a
Isn't
term.
Is the tornado enough? Does the size really matter there?
It's a good. Yeah. Come on, guys. Does size really have to matter in every category? Come on.
Dude. But it's, yeah, you watch that video.
Yeah. Well, the tsunami one was crazy because I remember this. I think it was in. Oh man, I'm going to feel so bad here. Maybe you can Google it. I think it was a 2004 tsunami in either Indonesia or Thailand. I want to say Indonesia in 2004. There's a movie about it with Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman, I think, or Naomi Watts. Maybe it's Nicole Kidman. Anyway.
Yeah, there was one.
Where was it?
It was the 2004 Indian Ocean, or at least in 2004, there was an Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami that caused 227,900,000.
Wait, what?
Dude, that number doesn't make any sense. 227,900,000 lives.
It killed more than 200,000 people.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, but did it say what coast it just annihilated? Does it say a country there?
Indonesia. Banda Aceh. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's okay.
Bandaacheh.
I'm not sure. Oh, Bangladesh.
No, that's another thing.
I thought you said Bangladesh.
No, dude. Banda? Bandaacheh.
Oh, no.
And it's two words, like Banda.
It's funny that my brain was like, oh, Bangladesh.
Dude, this was, I was like, okay, should I make it a joke about Americans now? Like this like guy names literally any city in Asia. Oh, is it Bangladesh?
So Indonesia, yeah, Hong Kong, right, same thing. So, I'm just kidding. So there was this enormous tsunami in 2004, and which is coincidental because it was the same year as Hurricane Katrina, mm-hmm. and that was a bad year for coastal waters, and and it just annihilated this land, and they kept using all these clips from it and from the movie that's based on it, and they were saying how to survive, and I kept thinking how terrifying it would be to be traveling abroad. Let's say you go towards like the beaches of Indonesia, you're on like a vacation with your family or something, and you're on the beach, and then the crazy thing is the first sign that a tsunami is coming or that there's been this like underwater earthquake is that the beaches recede for like miles. So you're at the beach where the tide is crashing against the, mm-hmm. the ocean or against the shore, and then it just recedes. It goes back and back and back and back and back, mm-hmm. and back. And for me, that would be so scary because then first thing I would think is, oh, this is that from that video, this is a tsunami's coming, you know? And so you might feel the earthquake, which is already a sign, like you need to get out of there. But then the water recedes, you're like, oh my God. And the waves can come back. First off, the waves can come up to like, I don't know how many hundred meters, like 300 meters up, you know? And they can come every 20 minutes or they can come like once an hour. So of course, it's kind of what you expect. They were like, okay, if you see the water doing this and you're in that area, the first advice was don't run. Don't, like, it'll be like the water will go back and expose the ocean floor. Don't go towards the ocean to investigate. Go the opposite way. I was like, no shit, man. Of course. But dude, like, yeah, the ocean pulls back and you see like whales and jellyfish all like beached and you're like, let's go look at that. Like, no way, man, something's wrong, get out of there. Then they say to run the opposite direction. Then they say if you like try to get to high ground, obvious, but if you can't get to high ground, then try to get into like a building that's heavy, thick, or mostly concrete based, like really foundational and heavy. I was like, all right, that's
interesting. And if you don't find that?
If you don't find that.
You're dead.
Then they said, well, you might be. But they said, like, your best bet is if you're, like, swept in the water because it moves, I don't know how many hundreds of kilometers an hour. It's just, like, super fast. And if you can't get to a building, you can't get to high ground, you're just running away. Some people in this Indonesian tsunami survived because they, like, were being pushed in the water past, like, a palm tree. Or these deep rooted trees, and they clung on to the root of it, and they just held on. And they held on. Some woman held on to a palm tree for 5 days.
What?
Like you can hold on to it and the water can seem really calm and you think it's over, but they said don't let go of where you are until the authorities come, like until you see the helicopters and stuff and the survival the people who come rescue you, the rescue team. Mm. Because it can still, like, another wave can come, like, an hour later. So just hold on to it and don't go. And this lady held on for days. It's wild, man. I think about it in that movie, the one about this tsunami with Ewan McGregor. His family, like, clings onto a tree. And you see, like, cars moving by and, like, mm-hmm. animals going by. And you're just like, wow, that's so, so terrifying. That's so crazy. And then I looked at... And then I looked at how to survive a mega tornado.
but now after this story regarding the tsunami, I picture you in my head at your next, I don't know, something like Italian Riviera holiday, sitting in a hotel room in your apartment, and your wife wants to go to the beach, and you're sitting there super feared. No thanks, I'm staying inside a concrete building.
I'm good. You go on ahead. I love you. Goodbye.
Just bring me some sand and I'm fine.
It's like, goodbye. Forever.
Dude.
Oh my God. But it's, yeah, that's really crazy. Oh, but you had a question earlier about what makes like a legit mega tornado. And I learned that today.
Okay.
So there's like, there's this scale. The same way with hurricanes, there's, you know, F3, F4, F5, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's the same with tornadoes. There's like EF. So it's EF0, which moves at 100 kilometers an hour in rotation. And an EF5 can be over 300 kilometers an hour in rotation. And the biggest recorded, the fastest, biggest hurricane recorded was an, was like over an EF5. It was 511 kilometers an hour.
What?
511 kilometers, like, you know, spinning around and knocking things over. And it was in, I think it was in Kansas City in 98 or 99, and it killed
in Kansas
like several
City.
Hundred. Yeah, in Kansas, yeah. And it just annihilated, like, it killed hundreds of people. And,
a mega tornado.
Like, decimated, yeah, just decimated towns. It's like the one in the movies that is just so wide that it looks like a bucket of mud spinning around. It's like this huge, fat tornado. Mm-hmm. And they change direction, like, from second to second. And they change speed and they change like everything. It's so, so crazy. Part of me has always really wanted to see a tornado, but then again, I don't want to be a storm chaser because those guys are psychos.
What are storm chasers?
What's a storm chaser? Oh, my friend. Did you ever see the movie Twister?
No.
Oh man, that's a classic. What are you doing with your life? Oh,
you forgot. Like you said last episode, I forgot you don't watch movies.
I can't believe you haven't seen Twister. It's so. But you've seen like Robin Williams' Jumanji, right? You never saw Jumanji?
Yeah,
I've seen Jumanji. You did.
Yeah.
Okay.
The original, okay,
because that's like
not the new one. There's a new one with The Rock, obviously.
No.
Everything's with The Rock these days.
Everything's with The Rock. No, the original Jumanji, which is still excellent. It really holds up. So that came out like around the same time, like late 90s, and has Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton. And it's this rompy, semi-funny adventure with like storm chasers and a storm chaser, which is its own television show on the History Channel and the National Geographic. It's a very, unfortunately, very popular hobby and this crazy thing. So I get that some people want to storm chase because they might be like, you know, aspiring meteorologists and they want to study weather patterns. I get that. People have to do that. We have to understand how weather works. And then there's just some freak shows out there who put their own lives and their team's lives at risk because they go to the Midwest in Oklahoma and Kansas and whatever other states there that have like the most tornadoes, and they chase,
basically
tornadoes.
They're forecasting storms, then are going there to get footage, or I don't know if they do it for academic reasons, some form of,
well, that's the difference
data.
Right, like the storm chaser is for the thrill.
Okay,
but the meteorologists and like, as you know, whatever, like people who study weather and precipitation and humidity, they go there to like get like a sample, get some footage, study it, maybe throw these like, you know, these little things into the wind that measure whatever things. But then there's the storm chasers who just go there to be near a tornado.
Yeah, but so just another word for people who are attracted like by catastrophes.
Like a thrill seeker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's crazy, man.
No,
I mean, like I said earlier, like some part of me would, you know, would love to see a tornado, but the other part of me is, I mean, they're so unpredictable and so scary.
Dude, that's a pretty easy balance. Of course, I would also like to see a tornado, but on the one hand, you got the once in a lifetime image of seeing a tornado. On the other hand, you just go through your head and think about the first five reasons why this is a real shitty idea to do.
Yeah.
And you find five within the first 0.5 seconds.
Yeah, it's so easy to think about reasons not to do it. You think about like this once in a lifetime, you know, vision of a tornado could also be your last once in a lifetime vision of anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's so crazy. It's really crazy. I saw, I don't know where, maybe it's Florida. They're opening up Six Flags theme park next month.
Okay.
Which is pretty reckless, I'd say, because someone like Seth Meyers had a good joke about it. They were like, oh, it's opening up next month. Is it safe with Corona? And he made the joke of like, well, as safe as it's always been, you know?
Dude. Yeah, but I still don't understand what's going on, how they're dealing with COVID. Besides that, they're having great success with their vaccinations, but how they're dealing with COVID in everyday life in the States.
I don't think a lot of states are dealing with it at all, to be honest.
Yeah, I see a lot of social media content by a girl. You get to know her. We connected you with her. A friend of my partner who does her semester abroad in New Orleans at the moment.
Right.
Which is, by the way, only possible because she has a green card. So she's an American citizen. And she posts stuff on her Instagram story where you see people in restaurants, bars, everywhere. They celebrate St. Patrick's Day, whatsoever. They drive, they go for a Las Vegas weekend. And I'm like, dude, what's going on there?
It's like it didn't exist to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, I was even talking to family about how it is where they are. And of course, you know, there's been absolutely no shutdown whatsoever. They still go to, you know, they might say that the restaurant they go to has a waitress in a mask. And when you walk to your table, you're in a mask. Like we had for
last
like
summer.
Yeah, we had for like a few weeks or a few like a month or two. So they still just have that first rule. But I mean, still, I've been told that a lot of people don't wear the masks at all when they walk in the stores. And there's no fight back, you know?
But are there huge differences? Because let's make this an artsy-fartsy topic. Because in Germany, a big deal is, and you know that, like, and a big issue for many people that many people see is this federal state, and that there's very various decision being made in different federal states. Like there are totally different rules regarding certain restrainings in everyday life of all people in Bavaria than in I don't know, Saxon or any other federal state or whatsoever. There were and still are huge differences. And is it because part of your family is in Tennessee and part in Utah? Are there huge differences?
Well, my brother moved. He just moved back to Tennessee. So right now they're all in Tennessee. Yeah. Okay, so Salt Lake City's over with now.
Okay. Because of COVID or COVID related?
No, he got a job that he liked more back home. Their dream was always to go back to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so now they bought they just bought their house. They're just moving back in this week. And so they're back home. They got their friends. They got our cousin lives nearby, so they can visit her. And she just had twins.
Okay.
Oh, I talked about them on the last episode.
Yeah, but that still means that he has lived through COVID or a part of COVID in Utah. Do you know about in general about big differences in how to deal with COVID from political side in between different states?
Well, I hate to generalize this so much, but I'm going to throw this out there that, and this probably isn't a surprise to anybody, that the way that states, because America made COVID precautions political, that it's highly affected by if the state is red or blue, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, you have, of course, California is always, always very back and forth, like depending, because it's such a humongous state.
That's a lot of, you got so many people living there.
Yeah. So like, it's such a humongous state, depending on how north you are, how south you are, it changes your entire landscape and environment by 100%. So, you know, California has, it's probably one of the only states that has a huge mixture of both very left and very right, despite how it votes politically. Like, it is more commonly a leftist or Democratic, not even leftist, but just more a Democratic state. It still has a lot of people on both sides. So that's kind of the only, like, you know, gray area that I can really think of off the bat. But it's this, it's the most, like, it's mostly the same thing with all topics where, from the Bible Belt down, they make something pretty political, or it's made into be a political thing because Republicans are more often making a thing that should be quite neutral into a political topic because something about it makes them money.
Dude, or not. Brings I mean, political it's hard to, success. Like yeah, conservative yeah. parties always have more cards to play in the game. It's right. so much easier. But that's I wouldn't say it's so much easier, but that's a whole other topic. I just wanted to ask. So you say, or you see it as, in democratic states, there are
more strict,
stricter rules than in Republican states.
Well, there's more of like a social consciousness to be careful about others. People say like, well, you know, this, the idea of wearing a mask isn't that you're wearing a mask because you feel that, you know, you're not safe in an environment. It, of course, that's like a small part of it. But the main part to wear a mask is because if you have gotten it in some way or another, even if you don't feel any symptoms, even if you don't feel sick at all, you could still have it and you could, without a mask, give it to someone who would feel symptoms, would go to the hospital, maybe die, maybe not, maybe give it to someone else who would go to the hospital, maybe die. And that's why the numbers like skyrocketed. That's why Florida's open. That's why, I don't know what else is open. Mississippi, no, not Mississippi. Florida's open. Is Texas open? There's like three states or four states. Maybe we have to look that up. There's like three states that are wide open, completely reopened. Mm-hmm. Florida being one of them, of course. And so that's how I always, you know, that's how it always functions. So,
but one thing that I also find interesting about, this sounds weird as a topic, but COVID in the US is the fact, and as a European, you tend to forget that, and it came back to my mind shockingly, or I realized again because I basically know it, like. This might sound silly, but how much open space there is in between those coasts. Like, Like, as a European, you tend to forget how, like, that you have to count in other scales there. You don't have that many areas where so many people are living so compact within a certain width of land.
Right. Right. There's so many people there. What, Germany is what, 80 million?
80 something million, yeah.
And America's 300 million plus.
Yeah, but still so many people are living, if you look at the card, on the very left or on the very right of this country.
And they make certain things political that shouldn't be at all.
No, and where I want to get it is because there are so many states, and there's so many space basically within this country where, or there are huge contrasts, like you also see in elections, like you have those coasts where they are living a lot of people on less space, and in between those coasts there are some states where you have such a little population regarding the space that's given, you know what I mean, and makes that a huge difference in the perception of COVID, because I already experienced here, and here it's a whole nother thing, and the distances are smaller, etc. But that people have other opinions, people have other opinions anyway, but have another perspective on COVID in Oberstdorf, where I come from, which is a rural area, than in Germany's third biggest city in Munich, where I live in. You know what I mean? Because obviously, if you don't see that many people, if you're not taking the subway on your way to work every morning, because you live in a house, and if you go out, you have to take the car, I don't know, 20 minutes to go to a shop or somewhere. Like, and I right. thought about, does this make a huge difference in how people, or on people's perspective on this whole crisis?
Yes. I think that's absolutely true. How, if you take, for example, where I come from, if I think about the house that I grew up in, we were on, a single lane road that was about a mile from my high school, from the local gas station, about 2 miles the other direction from the church that we went to, you know, three times a week. I had several friends from my high school and from the church on the same road. But if you wanted to go to town, you had either direction you could choose from, but it was about 15-ish minutes either way to get to the city part, where then you had, like, you know, more main streets. You had the downtown, you had the shops, and you had restaurants and stuff. And my family spent a long, 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 long time in that area. And, you know, they've only moved so far away from there. Now they have a couple of different options for towns they can go to, but when they really want to do something, like, quote unquote, in the city, they go to the same city that I grew up traveling to. So it's, you know, it's even a longer drive. It's more like a 30-minute or, you know, whatever, roughly 30-minute drive to that city, to Corinth. And if, you know, you have this mentality in these kinds of rural areas that, you know, you're kind of taught your whole life to look out for yourself, to protect yourself, to have, like, this security that you have to be kind of wary of others. You know, you have locks on the door, you have, digital security systems, you have a dog in the yard. Like, when you get a dog, you're like, yeah, and if someone comes around, you know, our dog, you know, he's a good defender. You know, like, you always think about protection. You know, like, people have guns in their house, they have, like, you know, maybe like a knife near the bed. Like, they think about protecting themselves, looking out for themselves, being scared of others. It's kind of this mentality that's taught in that area. Like, you know, people are coming after you and what you've worked for, and you're so isolated in these rural areas. And this isn't, like, the fault of where they live. It's the fault of what the people in power are kind of making them think, that they have to be kind of extra careful and, like, be themselves. And that maybe bigger social constructs and bigger, more international problems aren't quite their problem, that they're secluded enough that, hey, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, that's just, you know, that's just what the liberals want, because they want to do this. They want to make it all like a socialist, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, I hate to say this because it sounds so cliche, but it's really like if the media convinces people in these situations to do things a certain way and to believe things a certain way, man, they make so much money off of it. Just so much money off of it. Is someone calling you or calling me right now? Oh, never mind. It's all good.
No, okay. But crazy how deep you went in there, because I first off didn't want to get so political, which is also very welcome, but I just wanted to get to very simple math. Like if you're confronted with COVID, it makes a difference whether you see a lot of people every day because you live in a big city versus you probably see like 5 to 10 people every day, just because you live somewhere where not so many people live. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. You don't see that many people.
Yeah.
So the effects of what's going on are more limited.
Yeah. And so probably it can, because that's what I at times experienced in rural areas here. So it's easier. And I also experienced that on myself when I was there for a while over Christmas. It's easier to blend out and kind of don't let these things affect you as they do in a place where there live a lot of people. Because I had like situations where I was 2 weeks in Oberstdorf and I probably wore a mask once. Not because people don't wear masks there, but because I didn't get into situations where I would have to wear one.
Of course. Of course. I mean, you know, like, yeah, when you go to your hometown or when you go to see your family or something, you know, that's when that decision comes to you. Like, do I want to go home and visit and make things very strict and very clear cut? Or do I want to, you know, protect myself as much as I can, communicate as much as I need to about who needs to do what to make things as clear and fair as they can be? And then just take that risk to see each other. But that's the difference, I think, when you're seeing, like, because you went to go see your family. And when I was just saying this now, I thought about my brother, you know, traveling across the states to go visit my parents for Christmas. And, like, you know, those things, like, it's family and you want to be close and you're all trying to be the safest that you can. But this desire to be around family is something that I could never judge. And it's just something that you know, you take that risk, knowing that that's something that was worth it to you to see people. But I think, like, that's a whole different thing that I can't quite judge. And I don't think that I would ever want to, because I miss my family and I think I would do the same thing. But with this general idea of thinking about others, people that you don't know, I think that's easier in bigger cities because you see you see way more, you know, not even just like normal people, but you see, obviously, by statistics, because you're in a city, you see more you see more handicapped people, you see more disabled people, you see more elderly people, you see more like impoverished people. You just see more of all kinds of people.
Yeah, more living situations.
Right, right. So you have this thought of, oh, you know what? I'm gonna happily, without question, wear the mask on this train today, because I mean, when I like earlier today, I rode the train, and in the compartment that I was in, it was like five people that were definitely over 65, definitely over 65, maybe even over 70. They looked quite old, and it didn't, you know, like, it's so routine now, it didn't even cross my mind that I'm wearing the mask on there. But now that we talk about it, I'm so glad that it's just second nature to me now, because I would never want to be like patient zero for one of these elderly people.
Yeah.
You know, who might be more susceptible, and they have to take the train because they don't have a car here.
Yeah.
As most people don't.
Or imagine being one of those elder men at some point.
Right. And being like, I mean, I'm so glad that young guy wore a mask, you know, for me.
Imagine, I don't know, you're like, and like, you're probably over 70 or something, and you're, I don't know, somehow probably found your peace, you stopped working and are on a good track and are enjoying life, and then you die earlier as you would have to, let's say, because some dickhead on the train refused to wear a stupid mask.
Dude, do you see these viral videos on Reddit and online of people being kicked off of planes because they refused to? Yes.
Yeah.
For me, that's so, like, that's so embarrassing, because it's only Americans. So, as far as I've seen so far, it's only Americans. And I've seen, like, I mean, first off, seeing one of them is embarrassing enough, because you're like, come on, man. But I've seen like seven of planes turning around and taking the whole flight back to where they came from, because this one guy is like crossing his arms with his mask around his neck or like under his nose or whatever, and he just doesn't care. Or he's like making it this political thing. Like, I almost feel bad for that person too, because you know they've just been spoon-fed the wrong information. It's not political. It's just not. It's like trimming your fingernails, or it's like blowing your nose into a tissue, or it's like trying to, I don't know, just needing to drink water or something. It's just, this is just like an air that's just like it's something. It's a virus. Yeah. And we're all trying to not get ourselves or anyone else sick, so just wear a mask. And there's vaccines coming, and it's doing really well in America now. So just keep being diligent. No one likes it, but everyone should do it. And it makes me so mad when I see that Americans, where I'm from, the people that I grew up with making it something into like, well, that's just the liberals doing this or that, or like, you know, whatever, man. Like, who, how, like, how has that become something other than a public health desire? You know, like Trump made Fauci into like a political enemy, and he's just a doctor just being like, hey, just, you know, wear a mask, you know, try and keep some distance because it's a virus and you could die. You could die, you know?
Yeah, but...
But that's such a hard thing to answer.
If that makes you makes you feel better, I don't know how much you've gotten of it, but it's not only Americans. And dude, there were also things going on here in Germany with those huge demonstrations, just like, was it on Sunday? Or at least a few days ago, we're recording on Tuesday, March 23rd. There was one in Kassel, and there have been huge in Stuttgart and in Berlin. Like those, you heard about Querdenken.
These anti-mask protests.
Yeah, these, yeah, and a lot of them are connected with some form of extremists from the right, with Nazis, with the strangest of conspiracy theory believers, and all of that.
Like, sure, sure. And, I mean, of course, and, that's everywhere.
And yeah, and it's too many people to ignore that. And also, like, we have talked so much about the historic event, the horrible event of the Capitol being stormed January 6th, like 2 months
right.
ago.
Right.
But also in Germany, it was... for God's sake, it was not that bad, but there were also these protests, and they were also getting into Reichstag. Good thing is, not as many people have weapons here, and the worst thing that happened in the end is that they called the minister of economy a fat pig. That's the worst thing that happened before they got kicked out. But like there was serious shit going on. So at least I can say it's not only Americans and yeah.
But I don't even know I wouldn't say that brings me any more peace to know that it's not just my people, because I mean America is unfortunately it's the most prevalent amount of people doing the wrong thing. But seeing it in Germany too is really disappointing, or seeing it anywhere is disappointing. You know, there was a guy at the school that I worked at. He was this like 60-something, maybe like 62-year-old house manager, groundskeeper, janitor type. And I found out maybe like, so I was out of that school last July, and I found out maybe in the following August that he attended one of the first anti-mask protests in Munich. And I thought, man... What an absolute idiot. I thought he was a cool guy, a nice guy. He was very friendly with the kids. You know, he used to be like a professional dancer. He was always like, you know, popping off his little hat and doing dances with the kids and stuff. And I thought, oh, that's so cool. Like, what a cool, you know, like idol for these kids is like, look how fun and spry and entertaining and sweet you can be as like an elderly man. But then you hear about this and it's like, come on, dude. And he was one of those guys who would walk around the whole school, anti-mask. And then if he passed by one of the headmaster ladies in charge, he would like immediately, you know, pull up like a handkerchief from his neck over his mouth. And then when he would pass down them in the hallway, he would pop it back down. And it's like, dude, are you 11 years old?
Yeah.
Like, is it such a big deal? Is it such a big deal? I don't know. No. But I don't know. I feel like this thing has just been talked to death, probably to most people. Either, you know, I think at this point, it's been over a year, right? So either you're a person who understands it's a necessity, you don't like it, but you got to do it, and you just get used to it, and you make it second nature, and you just don't make it the biggest part of your day, and it's just a way of life, and you're just counting down the days until you can get a vaccine, or you're the other type. And I think that's just like they've made their decision months ago, and that's just how it is.
Yeah. What worries me, and I don't know, talking about these topics also brings me down a bit. And what I find worrying is that these groups are still growing. Probably not all of them that rapidly, like they have in their early days, but still, so many people start to believe in absolute bullshit.
Oh, absolutely, man.
And somehow start to change. And yeah, it's really a topic I don't like, because I really find it so, I can't really understand why it happens on the other side, especially being German. Like, there right. have happened things before that started kind of similar, which I guess we all know the eventual outcome of.
Right.
And yeah, and I do a lot of research and read and inform a lot about right wing and right extreme and Nazi connections in Germany and their effect on the youth, on like other groups that are easy to manipulate, which is what they do when they infiltrate these kind of demonstrations, etc. I mean, on these demonstrations, haven't you heard anything about it? There was a huge topic about Nazis being there and about people
really
that probably everybody, like you, like your example, would thought of, okay, like kind people that not seem to have anything to do with some form of extremism and with Nazis, march along people that are showing an old flag, the black, white, and red flag, like,
oh yeah,
flag for war in
thumbs dark, up on that
times,
one
darker yeah. times in Germany,
right?
And it's crazy, and it, I don't know, it's I'm still trying to process it and trying to process how huge, how it can happen and how it can be that these groups still are so powerful and can affect so many people. And so that's that's a tough topic. And
I mean, go ahead.
But I think why these groups are still growing and why probably people like the example you mentioned and still so many others that not necessarily must be evil people shift towards these kind of groups and these kinds of this way of thinking, and it gets political pretty quick in a, I would say, dirty way, a way you should avoid if you enjoy living in freedom in a democracy.
Right.
There are still so many people drifting in this direction because they're mixing up different problems, but it also is still tough to have discussions about several topics separated from each other.
Right.
But I mean, you still somehow have to abstract what the virus is and what it does to humanity at the moment and what kind of crisis it is, and how governments around the world and all kinds of politicians or people with people in certain positions of power deal with it and treat it and rule over a country or whatever. Like, it's still two different things, and then the more things start to mix up. Like, you're worried about the situation with the virus, then you mix it up in a huge discussion with how politicians, like, let's say in Germany, deal with it, and then you add on that in Germany it's the election this year, and then people start mixing like what what parties do in their campaigns with their policies that should guide us through this crisis and the crisis in general. And yeah, many people stop or I don't know, cannot abstract these problems or don't want to or whatsoever, and mix right. it up, and then it gets dirty pretty quick.
I mean, not to make this too, not to broad stroke this too much or make it about something, you know, existential in the way that we can't really, you know, think about it or conceive it. But it seems really clear to me, and maybe this is already something really obvious to a lot of people, but it seems very clear to me that these kinds of really wrong ideas, toxic ideas, unhealthy ideas, idealisms, whatever, pocket religion, cult sort of mentalities for the wrong thing are so strong, more like stronger now than they were in the last maybe 40 years or 50 years. Because you have this bittersweet thing called access to everything. You have the internet, and you have, you have 4chan, you have 8chan, you have Facebook, you have Instagram, you have Twitter, you have TikTok, you have
all of it, and
even more than that, you know, like far more than that. But you have so many platforms where people with the wrong idea, with a bad education, with a rough past, with a certain mentality, with the wrong ideal, with the wrong research, poor research, no research at all, people can create platforms. I'm forgetting YouTube here, which is a big player, but you have, just as a small example, you have like flat earthers who became a very, very popular thing in the last year or so, which is the most ridiculous thing that anyone could have imagined would get popular. But if you think about why they got so popular in the last like 12 months, it's the same way that anti-maskers and the same way that, you know, modern neo-Nazis and the same way that a lot of other conspiracy, you know, wrong-minded people got as many consistent followers as they ever could. I mean, honestly, it's just because there's so much access and so many people are looking for a thing to believe in and a thing to make more sense. If you think about conspiracy theories in general, but yeah, it's a tool. Yeah.
It's a tool. It's not the reason why that happens.
It's not because the reason. It's not the reason.
It happens, but because like...
But the exposure, like the amount of them is because the tool of the internet is perfect for them. They're exactly. Like, hell yeah, you know?
Yeah, and they really, really know how to play it. Like
they know how to do it so well. I mean, if you think about...
And that's the thing, because the general issue that you have those kind of political moods and movements into certain, probably more extreme... directions because of a certain crisis is nothing new. That has always happened. Like when we think about the Nazis, they made great use for their propaganda of the huge unemployment crisis and economical crisis in Germany and Europe and how they got treated after the First World War and all of it.
Right.
They really and now we're in a crisis again. But the thing is, it's not that one party or one political group can print out stuff no matter the truth behind it, so-called information, and spread it under people their propaganda. So you, on the one hand, you think, okay, it is easier to inform yourself and form your own opinion, sharpen your own views, whatever you want to do and how deep you want to dive into certain topics. But on the other hand, it's also easier to not do that and to just not filter and just consume. And so it's also easier for those groups, for those people, to play just you described perfectly.
They just have this tool. I mean, if you think about, do you know the conspiracist David Icke? Or Ike?
No, I don't think so. So well, probably I've heard of him. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you have, because his prominent creation is the very strangely popular reptilian conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, the reptilian conspiracy theory, which is oddly popular, goes like this. So reptilians are, you know, these supposed reptilian humanoids and...
reptiloids.
Reptoids and lizard people. And basically it was popularized by him. He's a conspiracy theorist who claims that these shape-shifting reptilian aliens control Earth by taking on human form and gaining political power to manipulate human societies. And he said on multiple occasions that many world leaders are possessed by so-called reptilians. Mainly of all, his big one is Mark Zuckerberg. Mm. And like the Queen and Elon Musk and people like that. Bill Gates.
Angela Merkel is also one, if you believe that story. Angela Merkel. Also, and
yeah, sure.
Yeah, she's also a lizard human.
It's so unbelievable. I heard about that conspiracy theory when I was in college. I was like 23 years old, and I thought it was the weirdest thing I had ever heard about. And now it's more popular than ever. And this guy, he's written like 25 books, and he sells out stadiums to people because of this conspiracy theory. It's a wild world. Hey, let me just take a quick pee break. I'll be right back. I'm going to keep rolling. Same song. All around the world, same song. All around the world, same song.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Man, that was really well needed. But yeah. Yeah, so basically I just think that like all these crazy, you know, wrong direction types have just found the perfect tool. And that's why it's so extra prevalent to have, like, that's why they're even having these marches. I mean, it's just this, you know, they're like, oh, somebody on Facebook thinks that lizard people are controlling the universe and the Earth is flat and that masks is a, you know, like Bill Gates is putting like a chip in the vaccination to monitor your life. And I'm going to go march against that. I just think it's just too easy for them to congregate. But it's a tool that we need for things that we believe are right as well. So it's kind of a bittersweet battle.
That's true. And Jordan, you know? Don't you think after we just had a little break and after we gave all our listeners such a heavy topic and we're already over the 1 hour, way over the 1 hour mark, don't you think it's finally time to tell everybody why we saw each other today?
But don't you want to hear how to survive a plane crash?
Oh.
I will say that that Simple Swimmer, I got the masters for the new album today, most of them. There's a few things to fix, but I'm really satisfied with the new album. And the pre-order is available for that. Right now, if you want to get the album and the limited edition merch, the bundle deals, they are available on my website, through Instagram, through everything. Very easy to get to. You can order things up front, and they will ship as soon as the album drops in June. And Smilin has a live video with me, my friend Marcus, my friend Cosma, and we sing it three-part harmony with two guitars. It sounds really sweet, so you can go check that out. And with that little plug...
Dude, by the way, there's one question regarding the album.
Tell me.
Because I already got to see the first draft for the cover today, and I can say it will look so sexy.
It's going to look so pretty, man.
Oh, yeah. It's really going to be pretty.
I'm impressed.
Super pretty.
With the guy.
But one question, because I think we can tell that there are, because it's also on the website, you can pre-order different kind of packages. And it starts from the Simple Swimmer, which is also the title of the album.
Right.
Great one.
Right. The Simple Swimmer.
The Simple Swimmer. Yeah. And then you can buy the Advanced Swimmer package, the Experienced Swimmer package, and the...
The Expert Swimmer.
Expert Swimmer package, and the... What was
Deep Sea Diver.
The Deep Sea Diver. Okay, the last one doesn't work, but when you buy one of those, does it also have the referring title on the cover? Like, if I was to buy a Advanced Swimmer package, would the album cover of the physical record I would get say Advanced Swimmer?
No. But I kind of wish it did. An earlier,
you could print
earlier
some special editions.
I should. I mean, I don't have any money, but if I did, I would. It's funny because you had a theory earlier today that it'd be cool if it was like the Simple Swimmer deal, Advanced Swimmer deal, Expert. If as you went along, if it was like better quality songs. So you had like the first one would be like the demos. And the second one would be like the MP3s. Mm. And the third one would be like Wave. And then the last one's like a vinyl, like perfect quality. That would also been really cool. What I would have loved is like if I just had, you know, a lot of money and I could have just made like the coolest merch ever. We are still talking about a very limited edition. I'm talking about like 10.
Ooh.
Simple Swimmer hats, because I've been wearing like baseball caps for like 3 years now, and it's just kind of become my thing. And if I got like a Simple Swimmer like hat like this one.
Dude, I
then
need
I think
one. I
need it would one be so cool,
I
man.
Need one
like
so bad,
it would be so great. And you know, of course, like Guy would do the design, and he has a friend in Lisbon who would like patch them on by hand.
Ooh.
So you know, so if I could do like a hand patched Simple Swimmer, like 10 hats, then I would, you know, either attach that to one of the bundles that already exists, or I would just sell it as like a separate thing that you can just get standalone. So. We are talking about that, but the deals, I love the deals, dude. Like I had this whole big conversation with the label a few weeks ago before we dropped it, because the pre-order dropped with Smilin', the single, which came out March 12th worldwide on all streaming platforms. And you can, the Simple Swimmer deal is of course the Simple Swimmer album,
like, yeah,
the CD, you know, signed upon request. Like you get the fresh, you know, plastic wrapped fresh CD, and you can get the digital download, of course, and then you get the Advanced Swimmer, which is the CD with this limited merch, which is like the sticker, the pin, like for your backpack or for your jacket, and a tote bag, for like a cloth tote bag for shopping, because in Europe especially everyone brings their own bags to go for a purse or for shopping. And the Expert Swimmer is all of that with the 12 Songs for 12 Friends CD.
Mm-hmm.
And the Deep Sea Diver is all of that with the 12 Songs for 12 Friends vinyl and poster, everything signed with a handwritten letter. So this whole big package. And I've had quite a bit of things I didn't expect. Like I have the list here on my wall, and there's only one person who bought just the Simple Swimmer CD. Everyone else bought a bundle of some sort, if not the Advanced, then the Deep Sea Diver, actually.
Nice.
That's very cool, man, because
that's awesome.
It helps me out a lot when they pre-order. It's great for me because it also, you know, it builds up the sales on the universal coding. Like, you know, they track this UPC code. Mm. Oh, and also for those who prefer to buy things like online the same way that you would buy anything, when the album drops in June, the album's also going to be available. You know, you can just go to Amazon.com and just see the Jordan Prince Simple Swimmer album, and you can buy it on Amazon. I still get a percentage of the money, and it ships to you if you prefer Amazon. You don't have to buy it from my website.
But you don't have to buy it from Amazon.
You know, you don't have to. And honestly, if you
directly from Jordan.
Yeah, if you buy it from me, I get more money, and I ship it to you personally. So that's just your call. It's also going to be available
probably
on Saturn.
You could get COVID from a surface that has been touched.
Why would you
the
go?
Artist you yeah. buy an album from?
Why would you buy it from Amazon? They don't even allow you to have unions. Just buy it from me, you know?
Yeah.
Then you can get this, also going to be on like Saturn.
Mm.
It's going to be on MediaMarkt. Like, it's going to be officially, like, an online. You can just buy it like normal people. No. You can also buy it from me directly.
When so 20,000 really cool. people buy the basic bundle, we could say you could offer something special, like, I don't know, spraying your aftershave over every delivery that's going out your door or something.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you this. If I sell 1,000 CDs, which I think these days isn't so entirely unrealistic. It was like 3 years ago. But if I sold 1,000 records, I would do something very special. I would even take like a vote online and see, like, let people suggest things and then take like the top 10 things I like and then do a voting on those top 10 and then do the thing, either like something I send to the people or something I do online, or I do like a, you know, private like video thing. I would I would do something special.
But regarding merch, have you thought about it? Also thought, I mean, hats are pretty cool.
And I hats would, works, man, because it's my look, you know.
I would die to get one. And I you know, I also love hats, but that's another thing. But besides that, have you thought about anything crazy, I would say? Because, like, so I don't want to diss your merch, but
it's pins a standard.
And stickers is a pretty standard package.
Of course, we had conversations with the label. We had conversations with Guy, the designer, and with the label about what merch would fit this record. And it, you know, honestly, it just all boils down to, you know, for what kind, like how special it is, how much it costs. And maybe that changes. I mean, I have some new income coming my way, and maybe I can invest in like a very limited amount. The thing is, it all has to be limited edition. It would all have to be like under 100 copies of whatever we do. Depending if it's more expensive to buy less or less expensive to buy more. Like with CDs, for example, you buy more because it's cheaper. But we thought about a few different things, like this, like connecting to the theme of a simple swimmer. We thought about, like, you know, everything to the every,
what about
every kind of gear that you would need.
There.
Yeah, we didn't think about bathing. We didn't think about bathing suits, but that would be pretty cool. We thought about like lifeguard whistles, and just for me, because I love buying nice pens to write with. We thought about like blue ink simple swimmer pens. We thought about like, I don't know, headbands, wristbands. Some people suggested a few things that just seemed too weird. Like I would love to have I don't know, like a little keychain squirt gun or something.
What about arm floats regarding the album's called Simple Swimmer?
Like for little kids, like floaties.
And you know, you gotta admit, a lot of people enjoying your work, no matter if it's the music or the podcast or your radio show, whatever, are people between, I would say, let's say 30 and 45, that may have already dropped the one or the other kid into this world, and that could really use some nice looking Jordan Prince arm floats.
I should just make the floaty like my face and make the part where you blow in the air my mouth.
Have you ever kissed a fan? Not personally, but technically you could say
technically
yes.
Hundreds.
Do you know what I think? What a lot of people underestimate when it comes to merch, no matter if you do music or if you're a bar, a local bar or whatever, good lighters.
I thought about lighters.
Because lighters always also go a long way. And even people who, I don't know, neither smoke cigarettes or anything else, pick up a lighter at some point in their life, at a party or at some form of gathering whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it's...
You
know these... we're not getting paid by them or anything. These big lighters, like these...
Yeah, sure. They're fat, round...
Yeah. And there are also tinier versions, like different sizes. And they're not that expensive. but they work, and they work for like, I don't know, 1,000 times.
They work forever. Yeah.
And if you buy those in large numbers, they're not that expensive. And I think, I still think, yeah. I don't want to say you have to do that merch. Of course not. But I still think it is a great idea. And I also have like a good big letter by a band, or they rather would call themselves a sound collective, kind of a reggae dancehall thing, whatever. But I still have it. Like, I got this 1.5 years ago at a show or something. And I still have it, and I still use it, and I still see this band's name every other day.
Yeah. I mean, a lighter is a really cool idea. I thought about things that I would like to have in my pocket that I look at every day. I don't have lighters on me, but a lot of my friends do. And I thought that's a really good idea because, like you said, they last forever. You have them around your house. Mm. You borrow one to a friend.
You steal all them at every party. Everyone steals lighters at every party.
Absolutely, yeah. And I thought about on my keychain here, because a musician's always prepared, I have the smallest, coolest little bottle opener.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not as needed in America, I guess, but here in Europe, I mean, most of the things that you drink, even down to like sparkling water, is sometimes
why it's more needed in Europe than in America? Because
<Why?
laughs> because here you're allowed to get absolutely hammered on the streets.
Oh yeah, well, at least that's the same in New Orleans. I can at least say that. But yeah, in most cities, yeah, you're right. There's like this rule against it. But yeah, I have this little bottle opener keychain thing. It's small. It doesn't feel big on my keys at all. Mm. I use it all of the time, like several days a week I use it. And yeah, I thought maybe like this is kind of round as well. And I thought maybe like a simple swimmer. I thought about using a design like this and having like a swimmer's arm mm-hmm. coming over the side into a wave, like swimming overhand. It could be like a simple swim. I don't know, but we talked about it.
And I think socks are cool. If you make good socks. Just like we basic old hipsters wear them every day. These like Adidas, Nike, whatever, tennis kind of like sports socks, like in white or something.
Yeah.
That just fit well and are pretty comfy.
Yeah.
And you can pretty easily play with the design, etc. And I think those are also great merch.
I think I'll put this out there right now that if I sell a certain amount of these pre-orders where I get enough money beforehand, before manufacturing starts, then I will introduce a new merch item, not including the hats. I think the hats are going to happen. But if I have enough of this income from the merch, then I will consider I'll put up an option on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. Maybe we can even do a video together or something about like a new merch item. We can do a vote, lighters, socks, you know, hoodies, backpacks.
Hoodies are also great.
Openers, lighters, yeah.
If you don't put too much on them, hoodies are also great.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I'll do like a new merch item, do a limited edition.
That's a great call, buddy. What about
we sold X amount of records. I'm gonna print 50. Blah blah blah.
What about that's a great call, buddy. What about until our next episode, you try to figure out and do the math what number that should be, or at what's the number where you reach that point where that's possible, and then maybe we can kind of make a challenge out of it, and probably you'll reach it. hopefully.
Okay, we're at the very end of the recording here. Let's tell them why we met today. I came
finally. We played. This
I came
pretty good,
to your
Jordan.
We did pretty good.
It's
man.
A sad.
We
thing.
Killed an hour and a half.
Oh, now I got now I got it perfect. It's a sad thing. People could not see us throughout today's recording because this was huge fun to kind of always push it further, and that is a great keyword, not being able to see us, because that's the reason why we met today. there are some new possibilities. First of all, for us working together on a project, with which is great. Mm-hmm. And second, this project also kind of contains work at Algifaz Immigrants that could, or hopefully will, you guys make you guys being able to see us. Damn, that's what I wanted to say.
would allow our listeners to see us. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, allow.
yeah. Basically, I mean, there's M94.5, the radio station that Mo works at that distributes this wonderful podcast, has created a new video podcasting studio within their headquarters. And not only will Mo and I be trying to work together on bringing Artsy Fartsy Immigrants not only to you as an audio experience as usual, but from now on, maybe even as soon as next week, we have to talk about it and see what happens. Of course, no promises yet, but pretty soon we will also be bringing Artsy Fartsy Immigrants to a visual platform. So if you're someone who likes to watch your podcasts on YouTube, for example, or you just want to see clips of us together on different social media platforms, then we're going to start doing that. And it's really, really exciting. We went there today because... Go ahead.
And besides, because I wouldn't make the strong argument for that with being able to see us two, but I had... As far as I remember it, I had so many moments where we had super interesting guests that would have had something to show, actually. I remember Marco Mori. I remember Anna, the last episode. And that's something I'm really looking for, because when we have guests, then we'll probably explore new ways and try to also show you and present to you what the guests we invite to a show actually do, and what probably their art looks like, or sounds like, or whatsoever. And being able to use that that visual base to show you guys more. And if by any reason you just enjoy seeing us having a conversation, that's also great.
I mean, I watch a lot of podcasts.
I enjoy watching myself talking.
I just really like myself, and I think I'm a pretty attractive guy, and I think I'm kind of funny, so... No, but I watch a lot of podcasts that are just, you know, not even with the guest, but it's just nice
I'm
to,
I'm glad
like,
you said podcast, because the internet was...
I watch a lot of porn, and...
it was there for, like, this 0.5 second delay after you said, I watch a lot of podcasts.
Oh,
and I was in my head, it was like when it was gone for this moment of a second, was like, I hope he says podcast.
I mean, we're entering into the future. There could be porn casts very soon. I'm sure they already exist. Oh, porn casting couch. Anyway, we're going to start bringing video podcasting to Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, and it's very exciting. And even maybe as soon as our next one, because we have a great guest coming up for the next episode, we might even be able to do it for you next week. Yes. So let's, you know, we'll keep in touch about that. If you have a question or anything, you can always write us. And my friend Mo, I think it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah, I think so. So regarding next week, I think we can be honest about that. We will definitely record the episode there at the new studio, but everything is brand new, and we're also trying to find a workflow with recording on the video level, etc. So we will definitely be there and record, and ideally there will be some video content afterwards. But worst case scenario is, you'll just get an audio episode like you're used to.
Exactly. Exactly. So, as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. This has been such an ultimate pleasure to go on this roller coaster with you guys today. And, you know, if you want to support the show, if you want to help us find new listeners like yourself, then you can always go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to the show, and you can give us a rating, review, subscribe, a comment. Really boost this algorithm that everything works on today, and it can really help new listeners find us. If you want to follow us and see what new episodes are going to look like, or you can see updates about this video podcasting situation, you can go to Instagram, follow us at Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. We're going to be posting everything from the video podcasting on there, as well as we will soon be creating a YouTube channel for the full episodes that we do make. And you can, if you have a question or you are an Artsy Fartsy immigrant yourself and you want to be a guest on the show, you can write us an email at podcast@m945.de. And if you'd like to support the show financially, for as low as $3 a month to support our creative process here, you can always go to patreon.com/jordanprince to benefit us and support us on there. Otherwise, guys, this has been an ultimate pleasure. I hope that you're not lizard people. I love you very much and thank you very much for listening.
Bye bye.
Look out, baby. The saints are
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.